Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Toward heaven and talk to the Lord from the depths of your heart. Please make it personal. Just talk to God. Don't be religious about it. Talk to Him like a child speaking directly to his father. It is relationship that defines our essence. He said, "This is life eternal, that you may know Him." Without relationship, we are lost. Our essence is captured in the depth of intimacy that we have with the Lord. And so can you please talk to Him this morning? Whisper to Him from your heart. Show Him how grateful you are. Appreciate Him for all He's done for you. Tell Him how dependent on Him you are. Tell Him how you are nothing without Him. He needs to hear this. It's important to know that you know and that you are grateful. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. We bless your name. Thank you for all that you are to us. Lord, we love you. We exalt your name. We glorify you. We honor your majesty. Lord, this morning I ask that you pour upon us of your spirit, that lives will be transformed, illuminations will be granted, that the pathway of destiny will be charted even for many, and that by this time next year, the difference will be clear. Thank you, precious Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. It's a Sunday morning service, and so it's important we begin by teaching before we, whatever it is God wants to do, can begin to happen. Hallelujah. We are considering the subject of enlargement. I consider this subject to be very vital, especially in the season that we are in. We are in the last days of the move of God. And so it's important for everyone, individually, not just to discover themselves in God, but to be impactful, even as they advance the frontiers of God's kingdom. In Daniel chapter 11, 32b, the Bible said, "They that do know their God," He said, "they shall be strong." And He said, "they shall do exploits." The last day of God's kingdom is a strategic season. It's a time where everything must be done deliberately. The last day is not a time for mediocrity. It's not a time to live your life casually. It's a time where every second counts. The value you hold in the last day is not a function of your title. The value you hold in the last day is not a function of your race. The value you carry in the last day is a function of your alignment with God and the degree to which you impact your world. Because God is in a hurry to make things happen in the last day. Every tick of the clock is significant in God's agenda. In Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 and Micah chapter 4 verse 1, He said, "The mountain of the Lord's house," talking about the last day move of God, He said, "it shall be in the mountain of the Lord." And He said, "men of all nations shall throng into that mountain, and they shall say, let us go into the house of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways. There is said, out of Zion proceeds the law. That means in the last day, there is so much urgency in the spirit that all the nations of the world will be summoned. When you find the nation saying, let's go to the house of the Lord, it means there is an invincible force that is compelling it. That means God is not working as he did aforetime. Beforehand, God will send men into the harvest to get the soul saved. In the last day, the anakazo force is activated. So even those who are not saved, they are seeking the Lord. They are looking for the house of the Lord, and they are not just coming there for bread and wine. They are coming there to be taught the ways of God. It said, teach us the law of the Lord, for out of Zion proceeds the law. That means even the non-entity on the street is aware that something is happening. Even the man on the street is aware that something is happening. And he has advised himself, let us go to the house of God. In case the evangelists have not reached us, this is not the time to wait for the evangelist. We know that the evangelists are reaching out to souls, but now that they have not reached us, we better find our way to the house of God, because something is happening. The end of the age is at hand. And so you cannot afford to be lukewarm in the last day. This is why the subject we are considering is very important. The reason is because God can only use you to the degree of your enlargement. No matter what I do today, God can use me much more than he's using Bishop David Oyedepo. Because while I am here talking this morning, there are over 50,000 living faith churches where the gospel is being preached at the same time, affecting millions of people. Even if I preach here and it is streamed live, it cannot compare to what God can do with Bishop. Even if he doesn't go to church today, there are over 50,000 churches where the message of God is being preached, where souls will be won. Even if everybody here is won to Christ this morning, it will not be up to 1/10 of the souls that will be won by the Living Faith Commission this morning. It is called enlargement. Even if the man decides to sleep all the days of his life, everything I do now cannot compare to what God can do with him. So because of the magnitude of enlargement, while he's sleeping, he's making impact. There are men in this world that while they are yet sleeping, they are making impact. I can travel to 30 nations this year and preach the gospel of Christ, and I will call it great impact. But you will be shocked that those 30 nations that I will visit this year, there is somebody that has at least 10 churches in those 30 nations. And so he is not just visiting. Every week, souls are being won. Every week, impact is being made because they paid the price to be large. And so enlargement is not an ambition. Enlargement is a quest for impact and efficacy in the enterprise of kingdom advancement. A man who is small can only be used as small as he is. The degree to which you profit the kingdom and the extent to which God can use you is the degree of your enlargement. That means, amongst other things, it is important for you to pay the price to be big. Being big is not an ambition. Being big is a kingdom asset. And so everything you need to do to be big, do it now. Because God can use you to the degree of your size. We are in a world where mediocrity is being advanced by some self-centered people who don't want others to grow to the fullness of their capacity. And so when they find people becoming big, they use manipulative stunts to kill that propensity of God growing on their inside. So they will remain mediocres. And if they remain mediocres, they remain servant all their life. That's the strategy that politicians use. They come to you every 4 years. They give you stipends. They don't allow you the opportunity to grow. Because so long as you remain small, you remain a servant. When a people begin to advance for growth and enlargement, they become threatened because the manipulation they used to keep them where they are will no longer work. And it's unfortunate that this is happening even in the Church of Christ today. When you begin to grow, they call it ambition. Meanwhile, the same thing you are trying to do, they started doing it when they were teenagers. And now they don't want you to enlarge, because when you enlarge, sometimes you become so impactful that you can no longer be trapped in the cage of manipulation. I tell you, if you want to be relevant in the last day, you must pay the price to enlarge. There is nothing glorious about being small. The Bible said David was in Cave Adullam. 400 broken and battered men came to him in Cave Adullam. 400 broken men that were in debt. David knew that impact was not a function of one superstar. He knew that impact was a function of enlargement. And so he poured himself into them. In the latter years of David's life, when these broken men were outlined, they were called the mighty men of David. They had moved from broken men to mighty men. And one of such men could take 800 men. They became so big that one man in David's army was equivalent to 800 men. And so when David is coming with 10 men, if you call them 10, you are wrong. Because 10 men is equivalent to 8,000 men. And so when David speaks, nations quiver because of the capacity that he had built. When David wanted to build the Lord's house, as at the last time I did the calculation, when dollar was still 150, what the men gave in our present world was equivalent to $22 billion. Because of capacity. These were men who were in debt. If there is no enlargement, there will be no impact. There is nothing glorious about being small. I am starting on this note so that somebody will tell himself, I am tired of just coming with a suit to sit in front of the service. The next time I come to church, my life should have impacted at least 10 persons. And they will ask me, where are you going? I want to go there. The next time there is an assignment of the kingdom, I don't want to be part of those clapping hands and praying for others. I need to come to the level where I say, what does the church need? I pay for it. You need to come to that point where you are no longer satisfied just leading the choir. And then you find 7-10 people fighting over themselves who will lead the choir. You need to come to that point where even while you are in the market, when you lift a song, the glory of God will fall there. And hundreds of people will gather and be impacted. It's not about the pulpit. The world has become our stage. And only those who have capacity will be able to impact this world. When you truly become big, people no longer bother to ask how old are you. Because the size and the magnitude of your impact will define you better than your age. The size and the magnitude of your impact will define you better than your race. Nobody bothers to ask which country are you from. What language do you speak? Everybody runs to you and say you are their father. Because your impact will blow out the divide of language. It will blow out the divide of racism. And you can enter a nation of a white man and he will serve you with all of his heart. Because your impact is superior to the color of your skin. Mediocrity must be kicked out of our borders. This is why this subject is very important. God forbid that all your life you are living off a salary. And your destiny is defined by a boss or by a government. And if there's no salary paid, the quality of your life dwindles as though you are but a slave. God forbid that for the rest of your life, your fate is determined by a system that is run by the secular society. You must tell yourself that I must enlarge until I no longer live to survive. I live to make impact and to change the lives of others. Please sit down. If you don't have the right mentality in life, you'll be a slave. In fact, slavery is so modernized that they decided to call the people who depend on systems civilized servants. And people boldly and joyfully write on their certificates and on their documents that they are civil servants. They tell you to the face that you are a servant and you are a slave. There is nothing wrong in starting from somewhere. But you must refuse a system or a government defining your life. If you will only grow and make impact, you will be shocked that the wealth of the nations can come to you. Because you are willing to pull out something from your inside. This is why the subject of enlargement is too important. Enlargement is simply growth. Enlargement is simply increase. And so this growth and increase is both qualitative and quantitative. Your qualitative growth is what defines your quantitative growth. Your quantitative growth cannot exceed your qualitative growth. So when you see the circumstances around the man's life, those circumstances are indicators of the values that he upholds. The circumstances that surround a man's life are indicators of the quality of the man's life. And so a man's problems are not the circumstances around his life. A man's problems are the qualities that define his being. When your value begins to grow, your scope begins to expand. And so enlargement is not just about increase in number primarily. It is first of all advancement of the qualities that define who you are. When those qualities begin to increase, by all means, they will affect everything around you. Nobody is exonerated from this reality. Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. And he said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus created all things. And the quality of man's life is a propensity of the light that came out of his spirit. But when Jesus became a man, when he became a man, because this definition was him as God, without human flesh. When the Word became flesh, Jesus needed to quickly begin to grow and enlarge. And so in Luke chapter 2 verse 40, the one that created all things, the Bible said, and the child. Because if he remains a child, he can be killed by Herod. As a child, Joseph will need to escape with him, else he will die. Hope you know, Jesus can be killed. That's why he died on the cross. As a child, he needed to be safeguarded. When he became a man, he laid down his life. But as a child, an angel had to come from heaven and say, run with this child to Egypt this night. Because Herod would have killed him. And so because even Jesus, who is God, became flesh, knew that impact was not possible except as there is enlargement. In Luke chapter 2 verse 40, he said the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and the wisdom of God was in him, and the favor of God was upon him. Because for him to become savior of the world, he needed to grow from a child to the man Christ Jesus. Most of you here, the destiny of territories and the destiny of nations are on your shoulders. The problem is that you have refused to enlarge. And so long as you remain a child, it will remain a prophecy. The day you grow, it will cease being a prophecy. It will become a manifestation. In as much as we love and appreciate prophecies, manifestations are the things that profit. He said, it is the manifestation of the spirit that profit. If all you carry are prophecies, you are only a potential, and the world may wait for a lifetime. What converts a prophecy to a manifestation is for the child to grow and to wax strong in the spirit. There are too many people not growing. And so, you met them 10 years ago, they were a body. Meet them today, they are a body. And all they waste their life doing is complaining about others. I just asked him for 2,000. See the way he treated me because of 2,000. If 2,000 naira is easy, get it for yourself. Instead of looking inward and beginning to build themselves, take the challenge of growth, they are blaming everybody and everybody all the time, and they never grow. Why will you be begging 10 years ago and 10 years now you are still begging? There's something wrong, and if you don't address it, you will beg until you are old. The subject of enlargement is too important. And so Jesus grew in grace. He is grace personified. But becoming a man, he needed to grow in grace. He is one with the Spirit. But becoming a man, he needed to wax strong in the Spirit. That is qualitative enlargement. And when qualitative enlargement was achieved, in Matthew chapter 8, the Bible said from verse 1, as he returned to the mountain, a man that was paralyzed ran to him. Everybody begins to run to him because he has become a solution. And he says, stretch forth thy hand. He was healed. He went to Peter's house. The mother-in-law was sick. He commanded the fever to leave. While they were there just to have dinner, the place became a crusade ground. The Bible says when the evening was come, there was no flyer. There was no poster. There was no announcement. He said they brought all that were sick in the city to him. How did they know? That means Jesus lost the right to walk on the street. Jesus lost the right to walk in public. Because the moment they hear that he's around, the whole city will gather around him. So from qualitative enlargement to quantitative enlargement, 30 years of his life, nobody cared about him. In fact, John had to introduce him. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But when qualitative enlargement was achieved, he didn't need an introduction anymore. When he was hid in a house, the whole city gathered around him. And he came out, and he never let them down for once. The Bible said he touched them, and all that were sick were made whole. You will not make impact except as you are enlarged. And for you to be enlarged, you must journey from qualitative development to quantitative development. Quantitative development is actually a byproduct of qualitative development. This is not about ministry. This is about impact in life and destiny. Some years ago, I went somewhere to buy water. I took my car to the mechanic village to fix. And when I stepped to the shop to buy water, they said the water was 50 naira. Say, what? How can you sell pure water for 50 naira? While I was here talking, the guy pointed that shop there, they sell it for 10 naira. They knew their value, that they were unapologetic about it. Here we sell like this. If you don't want, go there. I went somewhere to cut my hair some years ago. And when I entered, they say haircut is 1,000. What will you cut hair for 1,000? They say, see the next shop there. They cut hair for 250. Meanwhile, the shop where they cut hair for 250 was dry. The shop where they cut hair for 1,000 was packed and flooded. That was the reason I entered there in the first place. How can this be more expensive yet everybody is coming there? Because quantitative value responds to qualitative value. If you don't have qualitative value, you will struggle and labor. Nobody will come to you. I gave you the instance of Jesus, the Son of God, so that you will know that no man is exonerated. Jesus had to grow in favor, in grace. He had to grow. When he grew in quality, the Bible said the whole city came to him. Every time Jesus moved, there is one word that is common. The multitude. The multitude. The multitude. Because there was too much quality for the environment to ignore him. And so calling yourself the child of God without paying the price to grow is a joke. You are deluded. It is when you cross time into eternity, you will discover that the reward of heaven is not for children of God. The reward of heaven is for the overcomers. The reward of heaven is for those that made impact. Because reward is a gift for those who pay the price to overcome in time. If you don't pay the price to overcome in time, at best you will be accommodated, but there will be nothing for you. Paul said, I have finished my course. I have run my race. He said, there remained for me a crown of life. The crown of life is not because Paul was a child of God. The crown of life was because he fought a good fight. He kept the faith. So anybody who doesn't make impact in this kingdom will be surprised in eternity. Because even in eternity, they are poor people. Did you not read about Lazarus? He was in Abraham's bosom because he owned nothing. He was a righteous man, but he didn't make impact. And because he didn't make impact, even in eternity, he owned nothing. Don't assume that when you come to eternity, there will just be abundance. The abundance is commensurate to the impact you have made. I'm saying this so that as I advance the spiritual principles for enlargement, everybody will make up their minds this morning to pay the price to make it happen in their own lives. So the first thing we need to know about enlargement is that enlargement is growth, enlargement is increase, and enlargement is multiplication. And so I said this growth, increase, and multiplication sustains a precedence of qualitative growth to quantitative growth. And then the second thing I want us to understand this morning is the fact that no man is exonerated from the necessity of growth. Even Jesus, the God-man, had to grow for him to make impact. Having understood this, I want to advance the third point this morning. That growth and enlargement is a God operation in a man's life. You can't grow or you can't be enlarged without the input of God. God is the God of increase. And so everyone who wants to grow and genuinely make impact in this life must find God, depend on God, because it is what you receive from God that determines your enlargement. We are not big in this kingdom because we are smart. He said the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. In the natural, you will assume that if you are fast, then you will win the race. You assume that if you are strong, you will win the battle. But he said when spirits are involved, the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. That means your advantage becomes the spirit you subscribe to. It is the input of that spirit in your life that determines whether you win the race and whether you win the battle. And so anybody who is trusting God for an increase must always fight for the God input. The reason is because when you start journeying in life, you will discover that there are different kinds of obstacles that spirit produce. I was teaching them yesterday in the crusade ground, and I said there are three basic obstacles that men must confront. The first is a mountain. The job of a mountain is to block you from making progress. You will have the certificate, you will have the qualification, you have the intelligence, you have the diligence, you have the commitment, but if a mountain is standing, your diligence, your labor, your focus, all of those values will count for nothing, except as the mountain is removed. And what removes the mountain is God. He says, say to this mountain, be thou removed. Because if the mountain is not removed, you will be working hard, which is important. You will be smart. You will be intelligent, which is important. But the mountain will resist you from going forward. And so if God does not add his finger in your life, with all you do, you will go nowhere. And if you deal with the mountain, there is such a thing called the winds and the waves. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 to 26. The winds and the waves, they don't come to stop you from making progress, but they come to uproot you from progress. So you may have succeeded, but when they come, they attack your foundation. If you are built on quicksand, they will uproot you. But if you are built on the rock, you will stand. So there is such a thing called the wind and the wave. Such a thing called the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So you don't need to do anything to be caught up in a warfare. You are doing your business with a pure heart. You are a man of integrity. But that you have integrity does not mean you will succeed. Many people are crying. They say they have never cheated. They have never stolen. Why are they not succeeding? Because the devil comes without invitation. And so for you to make impact and for you to have increase in life, you must always have the God in you. Because he said, but I am come that you may have life and life to the full. So it is God that increases men. It is God that enlarges men. Enlargement is not a product of mastery. Enlargement is not a product of experience. Enlargement is not a product of skill. Skill, mastery, and experience becomes an advantage when God is breathing upon what you are doing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul said, Paul planted, Apollos watered. He said, but God gave the increase. That means if God does not give the increase, the planting and the watering will be in vain. Paul planted. Why am I following this sequentially? A lot of us believe so much in our experiences. I served for 7 years. I have done this for 20 years. You are joking. Maybe you have escaped the mountain when the waves come. You will be shocked that the wave is waiting for you to look as if you have arrived before they uproot you. This is why you can never depend on yourself. He said, woe unto the man that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. That means the verdict of that man is already completed. That is woe. But Paul knew. Hope you know, Paul was a mighty apostle. The Bible spoke of the magnitude of revelation that was given to Paul. The Bible spoke of the technocracy and the skill with which Paul divided the word of truth. Paul was so gifted. He spoke and they said, the gods have come to us. In the likeness of men, they called Paul a god. He had so much expertise. But this was the submission of Paul. I planted. Apollos watered. But I don't have the capacity to give increase. He said, God was the one that gave increase. You find people today who speak as if they are the God of heaven. They speak as if it's because of their intelligence that things are working. So when you speak to them, everything they say is about themselves. How they did it, the strategy they used, all that they put in. And at the end of the day, you will do the same and fail. Because sometimes, even the people succeeding don't know why. It is mercy that just covered them. If men withdraw, their foolishness will destroy them. Paul planted. Apollos watered. You want to be enlarged, the first thing you need to do is to put your all and confidence in God. He said, it is not given to man that walketh to order his steps. The Bible spoke of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9. He said he was more honorable than his brethren. But when you go to verse 10, you will know why. He said, Jabez called upon the name of the Lord. He submitted the totality of his life to God. And God began to bring him from one level of glory to another level of glory. From one level of power to another level of power. You want to find a man who stably progresses. Go and find out. His secret is that he owns nothing. His all is defined by God. He always sees himself as a steward. Paul said, we are servants of God. Therefore, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. They know that everything happening around their life is God. I know a lot of young people today, when you ask them, they say, it's because of their prayer power. That's why they are succeeding. Some say it's because of their sight. They are prophetic. Some say it's because of their utterance. And so when they are talking, you see all their confidence anchoring on their utterance. When they come out, before they do introduction, they will talk here, and bamboozle the people first to let you know that they know their horn. They know their horn. By the time the waves come, you will sink with your utterance. You will sink with your sight. You will sink with your wisdom. Then you will know that it's not given to man that walketh to order his steps. True enlargement is provoked by God. In Acts chapter 2 verse 47, it said, daily God added to the church such as should be saved. Daily God added to the church. When you study Jeremiah 30 verse 19, The Bible revealed to us now. Listen, you need to know the ways of the wise. A wise man is not a man who is full of facts. A wise man is a man who is always powered by God. And so he knows his stronghold. When you meet him, you say, how is this happening? He says, it's God. And you say, what do you mean by God? He says, he's God. Because every other thing you know is the same thing I know. The only difference is that I depend on God. You depend on what you know. Daily, God added to the church. That means it's not the evangelism that added to the church. The evangelism is a channel. Because without God, you can do the evangelism, the church won't grow. And so when you put your faith in the evangelism and the evangelism style and strategy, God will allow you for some time. By the time you do it for 5 years, you will now discover that if God does not breathe on that evangelism, you will be on the street from morning till night. Nobody will come. You can even give them soft drink to take. When they drink it, they will go back to another location. Does this mean you should relent in your effort? No. But in all that you are doing, you put your trust in God. These things happen to people every day, but they don't learn it. Woe unto the man that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. And so the first thing we need to learn about growth and increase is that it is God that enlarges man. I saw a clip yesterday when Reinhard Bonnke was speaking. He said, men, congratulate him and appreciate him for keeping the fire burning for all these years. He said, no, I didn't keep the fire burning. It is the fire that kept me burning. Have you seen our Christians today? I fast 4 times a week. I pray in tongues 7 hours, once in 2 weeks. And so when they speak about their progress, you will never hear God. Check their life. Everything is I. The first person that pioneered the order of I is in the bottomless pit now. He said, I will exalt my throne. I will be like the stars of God. I will sit above the heights of the congregation. When God heard it, he cast him from the mountain of God. Some of the people who are struggling today are more qualified than those who God is raising. Make the mistake sometime and give the mic to some people who are sitting in the audience. When they sing, the glory that will come down, you will now ask yourself, how come this person is so anointed and is not known? It's because it's not the gift that exposes him. It's God that opens him up. Give the mic to some people. When they preach, you will be shocked. The depth of understanding and scripture. And then you are wondering, why are they struggling? Because their confidence is in their intelligence. Some people know all the problems of society. When you sit down with them, I know a brother that if he talks to you for 30 minutes, if you have a company, you employ him. With all of the wisdom, if it's marketing, he's there. Talk about technological advancement, he's there. He knows anything and everything. But he doesn't have a dime to his name. He's still surviving at the mercy of others. Because he has built his confidence on his intelligence. And so when you build your confidence on anything apart from God, he allows you. No matter how spiritual that thing looks. It can be prayer, it can be fasting, it can be an anointing. God will allow you. It will help you see your true size. And so enlargement begins when men put their trust in God. When you put your trust in God, and it is sure that your confidence is not in yourself, then you begin to follow the principles that God recommends for enlargement. Those are the things we call the prices that men pay. Because if you don't pay those prices, God will be unjust to give you an advantage. He said, our God is not unjust to forget our labor of love. And so after you put your trust in God, then you begin to do what ought to be done to provoke and to necessitate enlargement. And because I don't have so much time this morning, I will reduce it into 2. The first thing that makes for enlargement is your ability to engage the spirit. your ability to engage the spirit. I can break it into tributaries of prayer, study, and all of that. But I don't have the time to explore so deep. But if a man truly wants to find enlargement, he must master the art of engaging the Holy Spirit. And not just engaging the Holy Spirit, but engaging the Holy Spirit until two things begin to happen. The first thing that he will engage the Holy Spirit to happen before enlargement takes place is that he will engage the Holy Spirit until he's full of the Spirit. If your engagement of the Holy Spirit does not arrive at you being filled with the Spirit, you can't see change. We are a generation where people pride themselves in prayer. And so when they pray, prayer now is about volume, capital letters, and postures. And people will pray with those prayer posture for 10 hours, but the Spirit is not upon them. They are not full of the Spirit to overflow. I appreciate the energy to pray. I appreciate the prayer posture if it helps you to journey. And if it is provoked by the Holy Spirit. But by all means, no matter how you choose to pray, make sure that at the end of the day, you are full of the Spirit. That's what makes the difference. The Bible said the disciples were beaten and they were asked never to preach in the name of God again. Never to preach in the name of God. And he said they returned to their company. Acts chapter 4 from verse 23 to 33. He said when they returned to their company, they lifted their voices and they prayed. When they were done praying, that is to let you know that the goal is not the prayer. The prayer is a means of achieving the goal. Many people bank in prayer and they make so much pride out of the prayer they pray. He said when they were done praying, he said the place where they were was shaking and they were filled again with the Spirit. They were filled again with the Spirit. This is what provokes enlargement. Remember, the first time they were full of the Spirit was in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were together in one accord. Suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And he said the place where they were was full with the Spirit, and there were cloven tongues as of fire on their head. Immediately something happened. There was transformation. That's qualitative growth. The men that were afraid and hid behind closed doors, the moment the Spirit filled them up, they became bold. Transformation took place. And they stepped out. And the Bible said when they were done preaching, it said the hearts of the men was pricked. And in chapter 2 verse 41, it said 3,000 was added to the church. So the infilling brought about a change from being a coward to be a bold servant of God. From being one hiding to be a witness. To becoming a witness. And when that internal change took place, there was a commensurate external change. 3,000 was added to the church. This time around, when they prayed again and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, if you move further to chapter 5 verse 14, it said a multitude was added to the church. A multitude. The church grew from 3,000 to 5,000 to becoming a multitude. Why did that multitude come? They were filled with the Spirit. And the moment they were filled with the Spirit, the abilities of the Spirit began to manifest through them. So from that moment, you can't know them after the flesh anymore. When they speak with the voice of God. When they stepped out with the ability of God. So much so that in chapter 5 of that scripture, the Bible said something. It said, they brought the sick. They put them on the street that the shadow of Peter may rest upon them and heal them. Something had changed. The first thing that happened was that they started growing, they started being transformed. The second thing that happened is that signs and wonders began to follow them. The sick started getting healed. The dead started coming back to life. And the third thing that happened was that there was increase. Because they were filled with the Spirit. When a man is filled with the Spirit, he starts becoming more like God. If you study Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 20, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine. Verse 18, wherein is excess. It said, but be filled with the Spirit. The moment you are filled with the Spirit, it said something happened. Submit to one another. Submit to one another. The reason people have crisis in marriage is because they are not filled with the Spirit. Every marriage seminar will fail if you are not filled with the Spirit. Because what makes men to submit to one another is when they are filled with the Spirit. And the point I'm trying to make is that flesh cannot be suspended except as a man is filled with the Spirit. And so when the disciples were filled with the Spirit, they began to enjoy transformation. Number two, as they were filled with the Spirit, they started walking by the ability of God. Signs and wonders began to happen. In fact, immediately that happened in Acts chapter 4, in verse 33, the Bible said, with great power, God gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Great grace was upon them. I know you sell spare parts. I know you sell car tires. I know you are in the office. I know you are in the academia. There is a signs and a wonder element that you exhort your horn. It will only come when you are filled with the Spirit. And if you are not filled with the Spirit, that system will swallow you up. You will go into that system with fire for God. After a while, you'll discover that you too have begun to compromise. Because what causes you to progressively enjoy transformation is the infilling of the Spirit. What causes you to continually function as a wonder to your world is the infilling of the Spirit. And what causes you to increase progressively and continually is the infilling of the Spirit. The disciples knew this. So they didn't lobby with men. They didn't do what society was known for. All they knew to do was to engage God until they are filled with the Spirit. Many Christians are not paying the price to be filled. This is why they are not growing. And this is why they are not increasing. That business you are struggling with, if you will sit with the word of God and search from the scripture, one wisdom can crystallize from the word. And if you apply it, you will be shocked the extent to which your growth can begin. You know, people think when we teach these things, it's only for pastors. And that's why many times they don't consciously apply it. When you read the scripture, you will find businessmen that through the infilling of the Holy Spirit made so much impact. Joseph, for instance, became the prime minister of Egypt and became the custodian of the wealth of Egypt. Not because he was a technocrat, not because he had so much experience. It's by the wisdom that the Holy Ghost put upon him. That wisdom was what exalted Joseph from the prison to becoming a prime minister. Daniel, the Bible said, the king thought to make him president of all the realms. Why? Because they said, in him is the spirit of the holy gods. Light and understanding was in this Daniel. Excellent wisdom was found in him, and he had the ability to explain hard sentences. When people are not full of the Spirit, they will try to use the dead knowledge they taught them from the universities. And even if the knowledge is right, they will not have the intelligence to correlate the knowledge in the right order. Hope you know, if you do the right thing at the wrong time, you are wrong. When a woman is pregnant, the goal is to bring the child out of the womb. If you bring that child out at 1 month, it's called abortion. If you bring that child out at 3 months, it's called abortion. If you bring that child out at 4 months, it's called abortion. But when it's 9 months, if the child doesn't want to come out, you bring it out. They call it birth. So what redefines abortion to birth is the time that the child is brought out. So without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you may have the right knowledge, but you don't know how to channel it. That's why you need to be filled with the Spirit all the time. And for every man who wants to grow, he will pay the price to be full of the Spirit. And when you study scripture, there are a few ways of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one is prayer. Prayer. The Bible said they returned to their own company. They didn't go there to dance. He said when they went there, they lifted up their voices and they prayed. When a man begins to pray, he opens himself up for God to change him. The Bible said as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. The reason you are the same old version that they know you for is because you have not subjected yourself sufficient to prayer. Some people have used their anger to wreck their destinies. Some people have used their foolishness to wreck their destiny. If they would have stayed at the altar, the Holy Ghost would have whispered to them that this anger is not to your advantage. And so you met them 10 years ago, they are as angry as a lion. Meet them today, they are still as angry as a lion. Because nothing has changed on their inside. That's why the experiences they had 10 years ago is the same experience they are having now. Because there's no infilling. When the Holy Ghost comes, you can't fight him. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you can't fight him. He is the Lord of the harvest. He will determine how you think and how you act. Your friends can talk to you. You can tell them to get out, not the Holy Spirit. That's why when you pay the price to be full of the Holy Spirit, the quality of your life begins to change. The second way to be full of the Spirit is to eat the word constantly. In Isaiah 34 verse 16, it says, search ye out of the book of the law and read. It says, for my mouth have spoken it, my spirit have gathered it. When a man is full of the Holy Spirit of the word, he is full of the Spirit. That's why it says, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spirit, making melody in your heart to the Lord. These things look simple, but these are the bedrock of true spirituality. You find many people, they are telling stories, they are telling parables, but the word of God is not there. And if the word of God is not there, the spirit cannot be there. In Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11, the psalmist said, how then shall a young man keep his ways? I know a young man is full of foolishness. How can a young man keep his ways? He said, by taking heed unto thy word. He said, thy word have I put in my heart, that I will not sin against you. And that word did not only stop him from sinning, that word was what prospered him. Because when he taught his son Solomon, he gave him oracles. And you will see how prosperous David was. You see how prosperous Solomon was. I told you already, broken and battered men who were in debt came to David. All of them became mighty men. Because the word can change anything. He said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He said, the whole world is sustained by the word of his power. Your business can be sustained by the word of his power. Your family can be sustained by the word of his power. But how much of it do you have in your spirit? Because if you put the word in your spirit, you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to become the governor and the superintendent over your life. You find Christians today, when they come to church, they've done so much. And there are some Christians that you have to even encourage to come to church. If you don't pay for their transport, they won't come. They will rather buy a church card or buy data and stay on Facebook watching pictures and movies. That's why the quality of their life never improves. But what wise men do is that they search. They search scripture because they are looking for light. Your word is a light unto my feet. It's a lamp unto my path. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. Darkness is not a challenge. Absence of light is your problem. When a man carries light, darkness helps him to shine. I just came back from a crusade. Over 4 paralyzed people were walking. If those people didn't walk, the crusade would have been a failure. Because the people who came didn't just come to give their hearts to Christ. They came with problems. So that which would have been the disadvantage became the reason why the crusade was glorious. So when you say a meeting is glorious, it's because of the difficulties that were corrected. It's not because of an oratorial dexterity. It is the difficulties that were handled that made it glorious. And if there was no light, that would have been the cause of the failure of that meeting. When I went to Pakistan, thousands of people gathered. They dragged them from far and wide. Most of them were Muslims. The reason they came was because they told them the man coming is a healer. And so when they came, they were waiting for healing. If the healings don't take place, the next day you may be killed in your room. We saw the paralyzed, we saw the deaf, we saw the blind. All of them, they saw, they heard, and they were healed. And when they saw the healing, men began to glorify God. So what you call your challenge is not your challenge. It's the absence of the word in your heart that makes for absence of light. Is the reason darkness is ruling over you. When you have enough light, darkness becomes the basis for your shining. And so men should stop complaining about problems and begin to find the word of God so that they will be saturated by the Spirit. The things that should have become a problem would have become the reason for their relevance. If everybody in Abuja today is healed, all the sicknesses will shut down, all the hospitals will shut down. The hospital is relevant because they are sick people. The schools are relevant because they are ignorant people. So what you call a problem is actually not a problem. It's an opportunity in disguise. If you have the right set of words. This is why wise men who wants to be enlarged and be impactful, they search for the cure of human affliction. And the cure for human affliction is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you'll be shocked. What looks as if there is no hope, one word will just pop out in your spirit.
And when you see the impact of that one word, you will be shocked. I told them a story from weeks ago when I came into Abuja to start the work. Everything we touch is in millions. I said, what kind of city is this? To rent a house, millions. To rent a venue, millions. To buy equipment, millions. What kind of city is this? Lord, why did you send me here? I literally was stranded. And then I went to the place of prayer because I know the answer is with the Holy Ghost. And while I was yet praying, the Holy Ghost moved someone to go seek a message online. And when the person heard it, I was the one that preached it. She labored to call somebody that knew me to call me. And they pleaded with me to come preach for them on the day of my inauguration. Who preaches on the day of his inauguration? I wanted to say no. The Holy Ghost said, go there. When I heard God, I said, fine. I went to the place. The service was 1 hour, 40 minutes. And so I preached for 45 minutes. Two sessions, 90 minutes. When I finished, I came out of there with 14 million. 14 million. They said people were blessed. They should support this man. He wants to start something. 14 million. Speaking for 90 minutes, the church gave me 2 million naira honorarium. The pastor gave me 1 million naira. And then 9 million was donated. Say, take 40 million from one 90-minute service. What if I didn't hear the Holy Spirit? And I said, no, it's not right for me to go and preach somewhere on my inauguration service. So today I would have been in debt. And when that level opened, it became natural. Because when God shifts you, he keeps you there. It's not about shouting. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are filled, what brings other men down will be the reason why you are lifted. Because God cannot be glorified except as challenges are defied. The disciples labored to be full of the Spirit. And so they prayed, they studied the word. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, they say it's not meet to give ourselves to tables. They say we'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Philosophy will excite you, but this is what changes your life. I can assure you many people have no word they are standing on. Their health is failing, there's no word. Their family is failing, there's no word. Their business is failing, there's no word. How can the Holy Ghost work on the matter if there's no word? The Bible said he came to bear witness of the truth. And so when there is the word, the Holy Ghost begins to act. The third way to be filled with the Spirit is to fill yourself with psalms, with hymns, and with spiritual songs. These are prices everybody must pay. It's not for a prophet. It's for everyone who wants to succeed by God. Because you need fresh inspiration for every day. Every day has a need for inspiration. And the way to tap into it is to be full of the Spirit. And to be full of the Spirit, you must be given to prayer, given to the ministry of the word, and given to the ministry of hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. I will succeed in ministry because ministry is my platform. But you are in government. You are in the academia. You are in politics. The wisdom you need there is captured in fresh inspiration. And for that fresh inspiration to come, there has to be progressive and continuous infilling. Because when the challenges of life buffet you, it will shut you out of inspiration. The second thing that makes for increase under the engagement of the Holy Spirit is to be constantly stirred. When a man is constantly stirred, he's volatile. It takes being stirred to dominate the affairs of life. He said, as the wind bloweth. He said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit. Being stirred is not to be emotional. Because I know the plague of our generation. Young people have reduced spirituality to emotions. And so if the emotion is not high, nothing is happening. In fact, they call the presence of God the emotion. So when their emotions are stirred, they say, the power of God is here. Meanwhile, this power of God that is always here, only ends up slaying them. The power of God that is so mighty in the meeting opens no deaf ears, opens no blind eye, casts out no demons, causes no lame to walk. And as funny as they are, even if the deaf ear opens and they don't feel the emotion, they don't think the meeting is strong. But when you get to 60 years old, age will advise you. Praise God. So in engaging the spirit, apart from the infilling, you must always be stirred. The stirring of the Holy Spirit is the power of God at work on your inside. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20, he said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think according. That means God is able to do according to the power that is at work on your inside. So if there's no power at work on your inside, God will not be able to do. You can go ahead and question him, God, why? He's not moved. He's sovereign. You can choose to become an atheist and say, Lord, I don't believe in you anymore. You are the one who is lost. If he comes for you, he's out of love. Whether you come to him or not, he adds nothing to him. He's called God. That means he can't be improved upon. The way to always grow, enlarge, and make impact is to always be stirred. Don't be lukewarm. Every day of your life be on fire. Let there be the stirring of the Holy Ghost on your inside. Now, when the stirring of the Holy Ghost is on your inside, there are three out of many things that will be happening to you naturally. Number one, there will always be a sound in your spirit. I'm sharing with you things that are different from the emotion that our young people do, thinking that's the Holy Spirit. When there's a stirring of God on your inside, there will always be a sound. You will always hear a sound. Because the Holy Ghost does not move without a sound. He said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Every time the Holy Ghost is moving, there's a sound. That sound is the proof that you are stirred, not your emotion. Your emotions can be calm, yet you are highly stirred. Because when you hear that sound, you can command creation. The power to change things is the sound of the spirit that is in your spirit man. And so when a man is stirred, there's always a sound. That sound can be a song. They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. And while you are on the bike going home, you hear that sound in your spirit. I have a very big God who is always by my side. A very big God who by my side. You don't need to do anything. That sound that came is coming to alert you that the dimension of God that is coming is bogus. And so all your enemies put together will become like ant. And so you won't do anything about it. You will get home, the situation will change. You heard the sound. And so wise men, they stir themselves until the sound become constant. You may be going home. There was a time when I was so broke. I called everybody I knew. And nobody would give me anything. You know, when you have need, that's when you understand that money is scarce. When people have need, you won't understand. You say, all I have is 10,000. Take 6,000. I have 3,000. Take 1,500. But when you have a need, you will call 10 people. They will say, Kai, I wish I would have helped. But just a moment ago, I gave out my last cash. I called everybody that was close to me. Nobody was willing to help. And when I laid down and I began to talk to God, suddenly I heard a sound. He said, woe unto him that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. Woe. He said, for the arm of flesh will fail. Immediately I heard that voice. I repented. It wasn't up to 10 minutes. Somebody I didn't call got my account number from another source and sent me 3 times the money I was looking for. When the sound comes, the solution has come. And that's why before the problem comes, you must tell yourself to keep the sound alive. If the sound is there, the problem can't come. If the sound is gone, then the problems will come. And so a man who is dead is a man who is always carrying a sound in his spirit. That sound can be a song. That sound can be an instruction. That sound can be a scripture, but it keeps flowing like a river. Sometimes when God is heavy upon you, you wake up from your bed with a sound. Because while you are sleeping, your spirit man don't sleep. The activity was ongoing. And so you wake up when your body was quickened, your body joined the ceremony. Because the service was already going in your spirit. And then you wake up in the morning, and then the sound enters that you are like the wind. That day, no matter what they do, you can't fail. You know it. A man who is constantly growing and enlarging always carries a sound. If you don't have a sound in your spirit, you are religious. The second thing that happens to a man who is dead is that he's driven. He's driven. Being driven is simply functioning by another energy source. Jesus said in John 2:17, the passion, the zeal of my Father's house has consumed me. So even if Jesus doesn't like to go, that thing draws him there. There is a place of doing spiritual things by discipline, which is good. But there are higher realms in spiritual engagement. When you begin to do spiritual things by hunger, you are being driven. If I have to call my wife out of discipline, it means the family is dying. But if I'm being driven, every minute her thought is in my head. And so I'm not calling her to mark a register. I'm calling her because I desire to hear her. There is a driving force that is in the spirit of a man who is scared. He wants to pray more. He wants to study more. He wants to come to God's place. He wants to talk about God. He just cannot. Even if you are talking to him about politics, God comes in. You are talking to him about business, God comes in. He is so inundated by God that God moves him like a man drawn. In Mark chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible said, the Spirit drove Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was driven. And when the Holy Ghost drives you, you return with his power. Because after he was driven to the wilderness, in Luke 4:14, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. In Matthew 4:15, he said his fame went abroad. Enlargement came because he was driven. Many people today, when it has to do with God, you have to persuade them, you have to compel them, you have to drag them. That's why they fail in life. And so a man who wants to constantly succeed, he knows what he does to keep himself at that level where the Holy Ghost is always driving him. If he needs to cut off friends, he will cut them off. If he needs to shut down preaching, he will shut down preaching. If he needs to delete apps from his phone, he will delete apps from his phone. Because what the world wants to do first is to attack that hunger. The world may not come to lead you into sin first. The world comes to make you lukewarm. Because when you are lukewarm, even God can't walk with you. He said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. When you are lukewarm, you can't serve God. You can sit down and watch a movie for 10 hours. If they say, let's pray, 30 minutes becomes like 2 days. You can sit down and read about the actress that dressed naked. Or the story that happened when they say that lady went somewhere and fornicated, and you are reading it, you are following every detail, you are paying attention. The line you didn't read well, you read it again. But when they say read John chapter 1, before you read verse 4, you sleep. You are not being driven. That means you are not stirred. You can read about the saga between Tinubu and Rotimi Amaechi. You can read about the saga. You can read every other thing. But when you carry the scripture, it means you are not being driven. You are not stirred. And you know what? Fly perches only on cold food. A man who is on fire, even the devil knows that he can't come close. Because even if it's by mistake that he's passing, the moment he senses another signal, he can stop that assignment. Even though he's not the one the devil was sent to, he can truncate another mission. So the devil is wise to avoid him. I'd rather not come close so that he doesn't frustrate all the mission I've planned for this week. Because you touch certain men, because you touch them that week, everything you want to do, they will arrest the spiritual atmosphere. So if you know what is good for you, just leave them. Anything they do will be prospering. Because if you touch them, you will frustrate other agenda. That's it. It's driven. Too many Christians are not on fire. They are lukewarm. Forget when we come to church and they sing a song that looks sorrowful. And everybody is lifting their hands. and crying. Ibuchuku Edimba. Ibuchuku Onye Dike. Ibu Alpha na Omega. Onye Buno Onye Pazu. Malite Ndogogo. The moment church closes, they carry Facebook. They are on Facebook for 10 hours. That thing you did is emotion. A man who is on fire, that song can be in his spirit for 2 weeks. As he's going home in the car, the song is still playing. As he enters the house, before he drops his Bible, the energy generated from that song, he chews in tongue for 30 minutes first. Kata, kata, raka. The service finished from the auditorium, but the service didn't finish from his heart. He left the auditorium, but the service continued in his heart. That's what it means to be driven. You want to create change in your world? You must keep the intensity of the spirit in your heart. Forget about it. Nobody making impact is lukewarm. Not one. Whether in light or in darkness. Go and find out the men that walk in darkness. 247, they are chewing something. They are chanting incantation. They are talking something. You've got to keep the intensity for you to make a change. Lukewarm Christians, sleeping over everything, and they think God will show up. If God wants it to happen, it will happen. How come in the last 15 years, God have not wanted anything good to happen to you? Is that how much God hates you? God is not making anything happen again. God has already made everything happen in Christ Jesus. If you want it to happen for you, you must stay it. Idiebube. Idiomimi. Ibu Alpha na Omega. So a man who is on fire always carries a sound in his spirit. A man who is on fire is always driven by the spirit. And a man who is on fire is always convicted of the spirit. He's a man of conviction. He can stand in one location. Everybody will leave him. He will stand there. He's not doing what he's doing because everybody's doing it. He's doing what he's doing because he knows that's where God is standing as touching his life and destiny. When you see people who easily compromise, they are not stirred. So anything can cause their emotions to fluctuate. The work we are doing now, if we are 2, we'll be there. If we are 5, we'll be there. If we are 20, we'll be there. If we are 1,000, we'll be there. It's not the number that makes us do what we do. The number is glorious, but with or without the number, our conviction remains intact. And you need to hear when we talk. When we talk, you will think it's a 30,000 auditorium he's talking from. You may check and discover we are only 100. But it's not the number that makes us address the body of Christ. It's not the number that makes us address Nigeria. It's not the number that makes us address Africa. It's the conviction that we are sent to this generation. And so even if we are 5, we will talk to Africa. When we talk to Nigeria, when we talk to the body of Christ, you can come and mock us and say, who are these arrogant people? That's your opinion. We are talking from what the Holy Ghost told us. You can do whatever you want to do. We are too convinced to be distracted by your sentiment. Too convinced. Your sentiment can't distract me. If you like, say whatever you want to say. Go and put it on the internet. Go and put it on a television station. When you are tired of talking, you will face your front. This man here will not turn left or right. I am forward and upward only. By the time all of us grow old, God will tell who was right or wrong. A man who is dead, you know by conviction. Did you not see Jesus? The same people he healed betrayed him. The same people he healed crucified him. But while he was yet to be crucified, he said, for this cause was I born. For this cause came I into the world that I should bear witness for the truth. I don't bear witness for the truth because 50,000 people gather around me. Even while I'm yet on the cross, I will still bear witness for the truth. There is a dogged conviction that cannot be shaken. You can't make impact until you are stirred. And if you are stirred, there will be a sound in your spirit. If you are stirred, you will be driven. And if you are stirred, you have a conviction that even death cannot change. We are out of time. This is the first aspect of what I wanted to touch. That growth is a function of our engagement of the Spirit. When we engage the Spirit, either by prayer, worship, fasting, or studying, the first thing that happens is that we are filled. And when we engage the Spirit, the second thing that happens is that we are stirred. When we are filled, there are attendant manifestations. And when we are stirred, there are also attendant manifestations. I would have spoken to you about values as a basis for growth and enlargement. But we are out of time. A man who is growing and a man that God will enlarge, number one, walks with the fear of the Lord. You study the life of Joseph? Genesis 39 verse 9. How can I do this evil and sin against God? He went to prison for 14 years. But until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his substance and ruler of his household, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. The fear of the Lord took him to the throne. A man who is growing and who is enlarged is pure. Our world is compromised. People talking about witchcraft, here they are the first practitioner of witchcraft. People talking against immorality, here they are living in immorality. People talking against lying and manipulation, why they are here talking, they are manipulative. We know the right message because we know what people want to hear. If you talk about prayer, you talk about righteousness, they say, this is a man of God. So everybody is preaching prayer and righteousness. But how many of us truly are righteous? In manifestation, not just as a nature. In Isaiah 52 verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, it says, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that bear the vessels of God must be holy. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 20, in a great house, there are many vessels. It says, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. It says, if a man purges himself from these things, you are not growing if you are still living in compromise. You can be a deacon, you can be an apostle, you can be a prophet. It's not your title that causes growth. It's not your title that benchmarks your growth. It is the degree of purity that defines your growth. The Bible said Daniel and his friends made up their mind not to defy themselves with the portion of the king's meat. Daniel 1 verse 8. They made up their mind. We will not be defied. Third thing that shows that you are growing and you are going to be enlarged is humility. Humility and meekness. Humility is the ability to put yourself under authority. Humility is the ability to exalt and esteem others above yourself. Meekness is the ability to submit to authority. Some people can exalt others above themselves, but they can't be under authority. Some people can be under authority, but while they are yet under authority, they are high-minded. So for a man to grow, there must be humility and there must be meekness. In James 4, 7, it says, God exalts the proud, exalt the humble, but he resists the proud. The grace that lifts men up is only available to the humble. A man who is proud and high-minded robs himself of grace. God's servant spoke a while ago. He said, what preserves greatness is humility. If a man is not humble, he's about to be kicked out of the scene. So humility and meekness, the ability to put others above you and the ability to stay under authority, this is what makes men to really grow. There are many people, the lesson they should learn, pride will rob them of it. You correct them, instead of picking the lesson, they are offended. They are asking everybody, this thing I did, is it wrong? Because they are looking for somebody to tell them they are not wrong, so that they can persuade their ego. This is why they can never learn life's lesson. And every time they stand up, you see their foolishness. They are the only ones who cannot see it. You will never grow if you don't accept humility. They are only happy when you praise them. You say you are working under somebody, they correct you, you are offended. That means you were never under him. You are an opportunist. You are looking for a platform. You are not there to serve. And if you find such people, keep them, kick them out of your ranks. They will cause a crack in the foundation of what God is doing. Fourth value that makes for greatness, for enlargement, is love. In John 21 verse 15, he said to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than this?" He said, "Keep my sheep." "Lovest thou me?" Three times. The parameter was not, "Can you prophesy?" The parameter was not, "Can you raise the dead?" The parameter was not, "Can you raise people?" The parameter was, "Lovest thou me more than this?" And then the second aspect of it is John chapter 10 verse 11. He said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So if you don't love the people of God, and if you don't love God, there is no way you can grow. If you verify and check your motivation, you will discover you are being driven by self-preservation, not service. And when God sees that, he will never let you rise. Because the condition for rising, for increase and for enlargement is genuine love. When God sees that you love souls, he increases them. Some people are looking for 10,000 people for the pride that my church, we are 10,000 in number, so that they will snap overflows and put online. They don't care about the sheep. They don't care who is going through crisis. They don't care who is not discipled. They don't care who is falling. At the end of the day, let the pew be packed so that the camera people can have a nice shot. You will go nowhere. It is the size of your love that determines the size of your manifestation. Even your job, if you don't love it, you can't grow on it. And so there is always a need for growth. And finally, what makes for enlargement is training. No matter how good you are, if your grace and talent is raw, you are limited. Because two things that can never be compromised in growth is loyalty and competence. The Bible says, if you are not faithful in another man's business, who will give you your own? He said, if you are not faithful in little, you will not be faithful in much. And it is in training that they teach you the place of loyalty. Because there are too many arrogant people. That's why the most dangerous people in the system are gifted people. They have entitlement mentality. They feel there is because they are there. That's why things are working. If you are not trained, you will be deluded. And you will not know. And then number two, when a man is trained, then he will know the place of competence. You can't be promoted because you are a relative. You can be promoted if you can do the job. Because if you are promoted when you are not competent, the job is sabotaged by sentiment. The system will fail because of casual sentiment. For a man to be relevant with God, he must be loyal and he must be competent. This is the benchmark of training. The purpose of training is to impute loyalty and competence into everyone that is working. Today you hear people asking God to increase them, to promote them. "Lord, I need promotion." And they can't do the job for which they are asking for promotion. And so when you promote them at the expense of the vitality of that system. And because the system is superior to an individual, for good, they will not be promoted. Before you ask God for promotion, find out if you are qualified. So that God will not promote you and you will mess up the thing. Because if you mess it up, many other people will suffer. That's why competence is too important. When you study the scripture, Joshua was trained by Moses. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible called Joshua the servant of Moses. Moses taught him what he knew. Timothy was trained by Paul. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, "The things you learned from me in the sight of many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. To able men who shall be able to teach others." That means a man's ability is a function of his training. And if a man is not trained, he's not qualified to be promoted. The things you learn from me. Timothy was not promoted just because he was around Paul. He learned something and Paul knew he had it. And so Paul told him, "I know you now have these things. Commit it to others." Elisha did not receive the double portion of the anointing. Just because by chance he was around Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 11, he called him Elisha, the man that poured water in the hands of Elijah. He served the man. People refuse training and they want God to promote them. That will be against the justice system of the universe. Because it will frustrate many agenda. And God is not willing to be that sentimental, to give up an agenda that affects others just because of you. And so if you want to make it easy for you to be promoted and enlarged, you must subject yourself to training. Even if a door opens to you, if you see that you are not qualified, pay and be trained. Don't let anybody advise you. He said, buy the truth, sell it not. You pay for it. So that you don't end up a figurehead. And every day you are fighting that they don't respect you. They don't honor you. These people are disloyal. You are not competent. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. You want to pray now? You can rise to your feet. Elohim Adonai. You don't have to be old to be used of God. And you mustn't be young for God to use you. You can be very young. If you pass the test, He will use you. And you can be very old. If you pass the test, He will use you. It doesn't take age. It takes the standard of God. He said the standard of the Lord standeth sure. Therefore the Lord knows them that are His. That means God knows His own by the standards that are kept. Today is the 15th year anniversary of this great commission. And so God has brought us this emphasis because time should not just pass. Men should grow accordingly. There are certain people here today. 10 years ago, the Lord visited them and showed them the things that He wants to do with them. Some have seen many visions. They have met many great people. But they have not become anything. Because they have neglected the things that matter. This morning, I'm about to drop the microphone. But there are 7 people here. I can see 2 of them in the choir that the hand of God is about to lift. There are 7 of them. And I like to keep it this way so that we don't get emotional. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is just lift your hands and tell the Lord to use you. That's all. You don't even need to see me. You can close your eyes so that you don't get religious. I came, amongst other things, to commission this one. Paul said, the Bible teaching, he said, freely you have received. He said, freely give. If you have it, you can give it to others. As far as their heart is open to receive, you can give it to them. And so as I asked the Holy Ghost to touch them now, some of you will find tears coming out of your eyes. That means there was a need for repentance so that you are realigned. Some of you will be slain because God needs to break you so He will overwhelm you. Some of you will have an open vision even now because the reason He sent me here is for you. So that He can shift you from where you were to where you should be. And so right now, just ask the Lord to touch you. Just ask the Lord. Every weight you were carrying that was hindering you, drop it now. Every weight, drop it now. You will need to do that. Aliyah.
Hallelujah. Hey,
wherever they are.
Let's keep it calm so that we are not emotional. Father, there are seven people that you are about to put your hand on this morning because you are lifting them from obscurity and you are bringing them into the place of power and enlargement. Lord, wherever they are, in this auditorium, on ground, online, now I ask that you touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Take that fire now. Take that grace now. 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Take that grace. Ushers, bring them here. Let me touch them quickly. Take that grace. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. I bring you into that ordination. Receive that impartation. For this cause were you born. For this cause you came into the world. And so in the name of Jesus the Christ, receive that impartation. Please don't be distracted. The people falling are not all God is touching. This is their own response. Some of you are standing quietly and there is stillness in your heart. Some of you are receiving instructions right now. Some of you are receiving visions. Just be sensitive. There is a wave blowing in the spirit and there is an anointing about to fall on someone. It's the grace for the evangelical. This one, God is bringing you exposure and visibility. Touch them, Lord. My God. The powers of the evangelist. The honor of the evangelist. The visibility of the evangelist. Take that power now. I'm seeing somebody's hand be dipped in oil. Is the power to get wealth. The Bible said the house kept growing by the prophesying of Zechariah, the Isaiah, the son of Edo. When we speak, we build men up. It's not everything you will receive by a teaching, so we impart people. There is someone that is being anointed for wealth. Your hands are literally being dipped in oil. Wherever that person is now, the power to get wealth in the name of Jesus the Christ, take that power now.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.